Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Steve, you were talking to me about, you know, we're really focusing on, you know, the disciples or the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the God's people at that time. And Israel asked Jesus, because he had Jesus' ministry was happening all around them, you know, and of course they were really involved more in trickery and all that
right.
towards him. And so they were asking him this question because they had so many laws, so many laws. And he says, Jesus, you know, out of all these laws, if you had to pick, what's the most important of them all? I mean, of all the Word of God and everything in there. I mean, can you imagine that? Cool to think. You mean I can like know one thing and do one thing well, and so they think he's just going to pick one. And so he says, "Well, you know, of course, the Lord thy God is one."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God."
Mm-hmm.
With all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, and all your
soul.
And then he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, everything that ever was written, you know, all the commandments, all hangs on these.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness, if I could get these down, I won't even have to focus on those because that will just naturally progress out of my life.
Yeah.
You know, then you start thinking, oh, it's love. This is what most people do. Most people know how to demand love from others. You don't love me. If you just love me more, me, love me. You need to love me. If I would love, you know, we know how to demand love, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to give it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat's right eye is twittering.
And we just have it so backwards from what is taught or what we think love is or how to, quote unquote, give love. Because a lot of times we think it's tangible love. They're giving them a present or giving somebody a quote unquote, thing or something I can buy for you.
Or flesh love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have unconditional love. You have phileo love, which is, you know, flesh love, you know, and that's pretty much what you see what's happening today in society and what people are wanting. They're wanting, you know, make my flesh feel good, you know, but God loves us with the unconditional love,
right?
You know, heart love.
Right.
And so then, you know, so he tells us love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's why you always hear us, you know, don't forget how simple it is. Mm-hmm. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same.
Right, that's right.
But yet it's profoundly deep.
There's a lot in that.
There's a lot in that.
There's a lot in that.
Because he says, you know, if you love me, obey me.
Right.
Okay, the obedience. Then obedience is tied into the empowerment that comes from the cross and your dependency on an abiding relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of streams out from loving God.
Right.
And, you know, loving him all with our heart is different than loving him with our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because our soul is what we think, what we want, and what we feel, you know, and it has to be transformed when you are born again, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a Greek word used there that means soul,
right?
And we have a lot of the church. I mean, if 97% are not even reading their Bible, and the 18% are reading it, only 3% are concerned about where they are on the map of God's word.
Right.
That's called unrenewed souls. It's a carnal church.
Yeah.
You know. And we were designed
to love God.
To love God, and somebody who doesn't understand that is like, well, that's kind of self-serving. No, it's not, because when you love God, you get a revelation of His love for you. It just gets released, and it's like this awesome thing that happens. That is like, it's
like a security almost. It's like you're able to just let go, and you're just able to just let God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, it's so freeing when you get that revelation, when it just kind of clicks.
Right.
And it's like you've been going after it for so long. And you're like, God, how do I love you, God?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do I buy you a box of chocolates?
Yeah. where's the checkoff list?
Okay, I read your Bible. Check.
I prayed.
Check.
Yeah.
You fell in love yet, God?
I'm not feeling it yet. I'm feeling worse than when I started.
Right. Okay, I will attend the church gathering this week.
Check.
You know?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going like, this doesn't feel loving. It's like, you know, use your wife, come in and fix you breakfast and go, check.
Yeah, right. And then hold up the checklist to you and say, see, I checked it. See what I did?
See, I'm loving you, baby.
Right.
And so when you're finding that out, that, I just thought about it. Anyway, so.
Can't talk about that.
I have these moments. Well, I was just thinking about, never mind. So then if you can't hear my smile, I'm sorry. So
be careful, your head might fall off.
Yeah, it's gonna connect. You know, it's very dangerous, you know, if your smile ever connects, it'll just fall right off. You make sure you're on level ground and you're, you know, you got a good bubble and you're level and that you smile all the way around, because if not, it'll stay there when you finish your smile.
Yeah,
that was deep. You have to go ahead. Go to the highlights. You'll get it.
Yeah.
But then you start. What to me when I, you know, started, God started revealing what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was so refreshing because we want so bad to, you know, He loved us while we were a mess, and the mess that we're in now, He still loves. and we want to love Him,
right?
You know,
And
sometimes because of that desire, the enemy will pervert that and have us start getting into works.
Right.
And we're going to love God. What we've begun in the spirit, now all of a sudden, now we're trying to just do some religious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting more miserable and more miserable. It's like, do you feel in love yet, God? I'm not feeling anything. And then sometimes the enemy starts telling you, convincing that person who's walking to that, says, well, to love God, that means you have to feel terrible about it. I mean, you personally are not going to enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm.
But then the enemy says, but it's all right because look what He's done for you. And it's like, that's no, that's not it. It's an awesome encounter with a loving God. You can't do this. It's an empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's God's love that empowers us. And it is sin that disempowers us. And works of the flesh that just separate us from the love of God. And so in this, you know, you begin to explore that. You know, what does that mean to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? It means, you know, so many things. It's so deep. And it's like, oh, I could spend the rest of my life,
just,
you know,
loving God.
Loving God and learning how to love Him more. And it's like the more you love Him, the more His love for you is revealed.
And the more you want to give that back.
Yeah, and it's just like this,
back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like we can only love Him with the amount of the love that we understand
right.
and just receive. And it's just that back and forth, back and forth.
Right, right. And so you were sharing with me some of your experience and we were talking about loving God with all your might. Can you, this blows me away. You know, you're not going to believe this, but somebody could be sitting with you. You could actually be sitting with your teenage child in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking about something totally outside that has nothing to do with the family at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be sitting with your spouse and you're physically close together, but their mind is somewhere totally different.
Right. And they're not present, and you can see it, and you can kind of just know the fact that, yeah, I know you're not listening. I know you're not there with me. I know you're not present. You're not in.
And the argument with that is saying, the argument is the saying that I've been here.
Right.
I've been here.
Right.
I'm sitting here listening to you. Is it, yeah, but your mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Your mind. What has got a lot on my mind? Well, obviously, I'm not on your mind. Right?
Exactly.
And so they don't, so we can actually love God with our presence. That's a good thing. But then we can actually say, you know what? I got to pay attention to where my mind is.
Exactly.
And because He tells me that I'm to love Him with all of my mind. So Jesus would walk up, if you, when you're reading about Him, and what he did and what he said, he would just walk up and say, knowing what was on their mind, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God says, knowing what was on their mind, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God knows what's on your mind.
Right.
You know, and not to be aware of that is not to be aware of how you're not loving God with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're aware of that, it's not that your thought life is squeaky clean or just perfect and the enemy doesn't try to tempt you or just bad thoughts or sad thoughts or whatever comes your way, but you're mindful of them.
You're aware of what you're thinking about.
You're mm-hmm. mindful of your mind and you're yeah. thinking like, well, that was not a pleasing thought, so I'm not going to have that thought.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to think that way. And that's loving God, isn't
right.
it? So
right.
tell me about your right. experience here.
Well, thinking about, as we're talking about thinking about, just being aware of like, God, how do I love you? How do I love you? And you were talking about loving God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And I've been asking, it's just like, God, help me to love you. Help me to love you. Help me to love you. And going into his word and what he's sharing is like Jesus was the very exact walking out image of God. He's everything. And how he loved people, they did not love him. Many people, you know, pulled out at his beard. They spit at him. They punched him. They just spoke so negatively of him. But he never backed himself up.
Mm-hmm.
He never defended himself. He never said, well, I did this. And did you know who I was? And well, he never had just that defensive argument.
Like us.
Exactly. Like we do all the time. And it's just like,
I am a sinner. Don't you understand that?
And it's almost like our first response is immediately like, well, I did not do that, or I did this, or I did that.
Offensiveness exactly. and defensiveness.
Exactly.
And as if we have something to offend.
Right.
And something to defend.
Right. And I think about how Jesus loved people by just letting God back him up. He was a man of no reputation.
And
He made himself.
I mean, he didn't come with a default.
Yeah.
He made himself right. no reputation.
And I think about one of the words of wisdom that was shared recently on the VFN program was that the glory of the Lord is to overlook an offense.
Mm.
Do people speak bad about
the
you?
The glory of a man.
Or was it the glory? Okay, I'm yeah, sorry.
Of a man.
Thank you. And I just, that just totally hit me. And it was just like, do people ever speak bad about you? Do they ever point fingers at you? Or, you know, the moment you lose your job or the moment wherever. And it's amazing, like, when you think about it, that I've been praying and asking God. And over all these years, God has put me in a job of customer service.
Right.
And it's just like you have all these people all of a sudden are just like demanding all these things. And immediately you just want to lash back. But then you're just like, and it just hits you because you realize that God has definitely just put you in those opportunities to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost at those moments when you feel that, where you feel the least love or like you quote unquote feel it
mm-hmm.
least. That's when you're loving God the most because you're putting others first.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
your
just
flesh
like,
is not like going, feeling like, ooh,
exactly.
This is great. Oh,
exactly.
Man.
And it just clicked because it's like God was giving me those opportunities to love him, but I was just seeing the moment and not being able to see God in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, and
it's important too to understand that if we can't define what God's expecting from us,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we have to get into his word and search him out, as we were talking about yesterday, that it won't make sense. It's like this whole situation is getting in my way because I'm trying to love God here versus this is my moment.
Right.
This is the moment that I love him.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's doing things, he says, when he tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you and right. despite, not just use you, but despitefully use you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
They do it with spite. You know, some people
come against you.
Yeah, some people are just, you know, nicely use you, and then you have people that despitefully use you.
Yeah.
And it's like, can I lash back for the despiteful use? Is that right?
Right.
And so, you know, somebody says, well, yeah, I pray for my enemies. Dear God, take them out.
Right.
You know, that's how David prayed in the Psalms.
David prayed that.
Break their teeth. Yeah. Break their teeth. You know, I remember one time, a particular, an intercessor. And I thank God for the intercessors who are lined up with the voice of the Lord. And rightly related.
Mm.
But the ones that are kind of out there, kind of like, It's like Ray Hughes. Ray Hughes says, I don't understand it, but just go ahead and grab the chick and run around the room. He's hilarious.
He
And he's one of, he says, I don't know how to act if I get into a hotel room that the towel doesn't fit in my ear. Those little cheap, thin towels they have at the cheap hotels versus the big, fluffy ones.
Right.
Anyway, so the understanding that that it's measurable and that you're not, we're not trying to get past this now to get to the next thing. This is our thing. This one moment in time.
In the moment.
And people are trying to, you know, enemy and everybody and sometimes yourself are trying to pressure you to get through now to get to the, to what's coming. And it's like, hey, you're, what's coming is not going to come until you get through your now.
Right.
You know, God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And God is looking at us now. Mm-hmm. He's in the now. He's the I am, not the I will be or the I was. And he's watching how we're going to love him in this frictitious moment when our flesh is crawling, maybe you know, maybe you know your body chemicals are out of whack, you know, maybe everything that God is asking from you, your flesh is screaming going, no, I don't want this, and maybe your boss is demanding things from you, maybe you know your wife or your husband or your children or your parents, whatever, you know, just everything's gonna be pressuring on you. And when you can get this revelation, it's like, you know, I just gotta love him in this moment.
Right.
You know, and you gotta be willing to die because there's plenty of people willing to kill you.
Oh yeah.
And if you're, you know, this is something. If you're not willing to experience loss, a bad reputation, and death, two little things, then you're gonna be constantly struggling because you're gonna have contention. You're gonna be prideful because you're trying to save your reputation. You're trying to save your life. You know, and I always say this, but it's, if you really think about it, nobody, it's a lot, you know, a lot of people just don't even think about nothing. They just kind of just do, you know, without thinking. But if you really think about your life, it's like people fight so hard to live. And it's amazing. I mean, it's like, pray for me. I'm going to die. And it's like, but you haven't lived to this point. I mean, wouldn't you just want to go be with God at this point? I mean, are you going to do anything differently? I mean, you got gold streets waiting for you, you know.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the lower floor. I don't know. But, hey, it's better than what you're doing right now for, you know, God. I mean, if you're going to live, why should you, why should we, God give us one more breath? And it's like they try, they really do. They try so hard to live. It just always shocked me. And it's like, why? So you can pay one more mortgage payment, so you can watch one more reality TV show, so you can complain about one more message being taught by somebody who's trying to get people to, you know, why? I mean, you're having told 95% of the people that profess to be Christians have not led one person to the Lord. Obviously, it's not to go so you can evangelize the world and win them to God. I mean, really? I mean, are you really enjoying the life you have?
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.